Chapter 23. Entering the Promised Land. After Moses died, Joshua took Moses' place as the person to lead the Israelites into Canaan. Joshua had been a leader under Moses during most of the time that the Israelites had wandered in the wilderness. Joshua had seen the wonderful miracles God had performed through Moses. Joshua understood the character of the people. Joshua was one of the 12 spies who explored the Promised Land. He was one of the 2 spies who described Canaan as a wonderful country. Joshua encouraged the people to invade and capture the land with the strength of God. Joshua was a good choice to be the new leader. The Lord promised to be with Joshua as he had been with Moses. The Lord promised that Canaan would be conquered easily if Joshua and the people would be faithful and obey God's commandments. God's promise took away Joshua's fears about whether he would be able to lead Israel into Canaan. Joshua commanded the Israelites to prepare for a 3-day trip. All the soldiers were to get ready for battle. They answered Joshua, "We will do everything you have told us and will go anywhere you send us. We will obey you, just as we always obeyed Moses. And may the Lord your God be with you, as he was with Moses. Whoever, if a person, questions your, Joshua's, authority, or disobeys any of your orders, will be put to death. Be determined and confident." Joshua 1, verse 16-18. The Lord would do a miracle so the Israelites could cross the Jordan River. Joshua told the people, "Purify yourselves, because tomorrow the Lord will perform, do, miracles among you." Then he told the priests to take the covenant box, the ark, and go with it ahead of the people. They did as he, Joshua, said. The Lord said to Joshua, "What I do today will make all the people of Israel begin to honor you as a great man, and they will realize that I am with you as I was with Moses." Joshua 3, verse 5-7. Crossing the Jordan River. The priests were to walk into the Jordan River carrying the ark that contained the law of God. The ark was a sign of God's presence. As the priests stepped into the Jordan River, the water stopped flowing toward them from the north. The priests continued walking, carrying the ark. The Israelites followed. When the priests were halfway across the river, they were commanded to stand still until all the Israelites had crossed. The new generation of Israelites could see that the waters of the Jordan obeyed God. The same power had opened the Red Sea for the Israelites 40 years before. Many of these Israelites had walked through the Red Sea when they were children. Now they crossed the Jordan River as soldiers, armed and dressed for battle. After all the people had crossed the river, the priests continued across, carrying the ark. The priests stepped up on the riverbank. When they stood on dry ground, God removed his mighty hand that held back the waters. The water rushed down in a mighty stream and overflowed the banks of the river. This wonderful miracle greatly increased the faith of the Israelites. The Lord did not want this mighty miracle to be forgotten. He directed Joshua to choose one important man from each tribe to pick up stones from the bottom of the river where the priests stood. They carried the stones on their shoulders. The stones were used to make a memorial in a place called Gilgal. This memorial helped Israel remember that they had crossed the Jordan River on dry land. The kings of the Amorites and the kings of the Canaanites were afraid when they heard that the Lord had stopped the waters of Jordan for the Israelites. These kings heard the Israelites killed 2 of the kings of Moab, and this had terrified them. The miracle of the Israelites crossing the flooded and violent river increased their fear. Joshua circumcised all the men who were born in the desert. Then they kept the Passover in the plains, land, of Jericho. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have removed from you the disgrace of being slaves in Egypt. Joshua 5, verse 9. The heathen nations had made jokes about the Lord and his people when the Israelites failed to take Canaan immediately after leaving Egypt. The heathen felt they were stronger than God's people because Israel had spent so many years wandering in the desert. The heathen nations proudly boasted against God. The nations said that Israel's God was not able to lead his people into the land of Canaan. But the Israelites had crossed the Jordan River on dry land. Now the Israelites' enemies could not laugh at them. The Israelites ate manna on their way to Canaan. The manna fell from heaven. But now that the Israelites were ready to live in Canaan, they would eat the fruit of the land. The Israelites did not need manna anymore. So the manna stopped falling. Captain of the Lord's Army. Joshua left the camp alone so he could think and pray for God's special presence. While alone, Joshua saw a tall man wearing warlike soldier's clothes with a sword in his hand. Joshua did not recognize him as an Israelite soldier, but the stranger did not look like an enemy. Joshua went up to him and asked, "Are you one of our soldiers? Or an enemy?" "Neither," the man answered. "I am here as the commander of the Lord's army." Joshua threw himself on the ground in worship and said, "I am your servant, sir. What do you want me to do?" And the commander of the Lord's army told him, "Take your sandals off. You are standing on holy ground." And Joshua did as he was told. Joshua 5, verse 13 to 15. The commander was not an ordinary angel. He was the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus led the Israelites through the desert. Jesus was present in the pillar of fire by night and the pillar of cloud by day. Joshua was commanded to take off his shoes because the Lord's presence made this place holy. The Lord then told Joshua what plans to follow in capturing Jericho. "Tell the soldiers should be commanded to walk around the city once each day for 6 days. On the seventh day, they will march around Jericho 7 times. Taking Jericho. Joshua called the priests and told them, "Take the covenant box, the ark, and 7 of you go in front of it, carrying trumpets." Then he ordered his men to start marching around the city, with an advance guard going on ahead of the Lord's covenant box. So, just as Joshua had ordered, an advance guard started out ahead of the priests who were blowing trumpets. Behind these came the priests who were carrying the covenant box, followed by a rear guard. All this time the trumpets were sounding, being blown. But Joshua had ordered his men not to shout, not to say a word until he gave the order. So he had this group of men take the Lord's covenant box around the city 1 time. Then they came back to camp and spent the night there. Joshua 6, verse 6 to 11. The Israelite army marched in perfect order. A special group of armed men went first, clothed in war dress. They did not march this way to show their skill with weapons. They marched only to show that they believed and would obey the directions given them. Next followed 7 priests with trumpets. Then came the Ark of God. A gold light of glory was shining over the Ark. The Ark was carried by priests wearing special clothing that was a sign of their sacred, holy office. The large army of Israel followed in perfect order. Each tribe marched under its own flag. The people circled the city carrying the Ark of God. Not a word was spoken. Only the sounds heard were the sounds of that mighty army marching and the solemn music of the trumpets. The hills reflected these sounds so that they could be heard throughout the city of Jericho. The watchmen of Jericho noticed every move with wonder and terror. They reported what they saw to the people in authority. The people of Jericho did not know what all this marching meant. Some people laughed at the idea that their city might be captured this way. Some people were filled with fear as they saw the glory of the ark. What was the meaning of the solemn appearing priests being followed by the great army of Israel, with Joshua leading? The people of Jericho remembered that 40 years ago, the Red Sea had parted before the Israelites. Just a short while before, a way was prepared for the Israelites to cross the Jordan River on dry ground. So most of the people of Jericho were too frightened to laugh. Mighty soldiers were placed to guard each city gate. The gates were kept tightly shut. For 6 days, the armies of Israel marched around the city. On the seventh day, they walked around Jericho 7 times. The Israelites were commanded, as usual, to be silent. Only the sound of the trumpets was to be heard. The people were to listen and be ready. When the sound of the trumpets lasted longer than usual, everyone was to shout with a loud voice. The sound of the trumpets was to be the sign that God had given them the city. On the seventh day, they got up at daybreak and marched 7 times around the city in the same way. This was the only day that they marched around Jericho 7 times. The 7th time around, when the priests were about to sound the trumpets, Joshua ordered his men to shout, and he said, "The Lord has given you the city." So the priests blew the trumpets. As soon as the men heard it, the trumpets, they gave a loud shout, and the walls collapsed, fell. Then all the army went straight up the hill into the city and captured Jericho. Joshua 6, verse 15, 16, 20. God wanted the Israelites to know that the credit for conquering Canaan was not to be given to them. Christ is the captain of the Lord's army. Christ overcame Jericho. Christ and his angels worked together when he, Christ, commanded the armies of heaven to throw down the walls of Jericho. They prepared the way for Joshua and the armies of Israel to enter the city. This wonderful miracle strengthened the faith of God's people. The Israelites now knew that God had the power to conquer their enemies. This miracle also helped Israel understand they were foolish when they did not believe in God's power. Jericho had boldly resisted the armies of Israel and the God of heaven. At first, the people of Jericho were afraid when they saw the army of Israel marching around their city once each day. Then they looked at their strong city with its firm, high walls, and they felt they could resist any attack. But when the people of Jericho saw the walls of their city rocking back and forth, everything changed. The walls fell with a terrible crash. The sound of the falling walls was the same as the loudest, sharpest noise of thunder. The people of Jericho were so frightened, they did not try to protect themselves. Joshua, a wise leader. God accepted the character of Joshua. Joshua was a wise leader. His life was completely given to God. Before Joshua died, he called the Israelites together. The same as Moses had done, Joshua reviewed their travels in the desert. He talked of the merciful dealings of God with them. He then reminded the Israelites that the king of Moab had warred against them and called Balaam to curse them. But, said Joshua, God would not listen to Balaam. Therefore, Balaam had to bless you instead. Then Joshua said to all Israel, "If you are not willing to serve the Lord, decide today whom you will serve, the gods your ancestors worshipped in Mesopotamia, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. As for my family and me, we will serve the Lord. The people replied, We would never leave the Lord to serve other gods. The Lord our God brought our fathers and us out of slavery in Egypt, and we saw the miracles that he did. He kept us safe wherever we went among all the nations through which we passed. Joshua 24, verse 15 to 17. The people renewed their covenant with Joshua. They said unto him, We will serve the Lord our God. We will obey his commands. Joshua 24, verse 24. Joshua wrote the words of their covenant in the book containing the laws and judgments given to Moses. Israel loved and respected Joshua. When he died, the Israelites mourned for him and missed him.